my name is Shauna Herbst, and I'm here to speak with you about a lay health education program that we're developing to address stress and depression in post-Katrina New Orleans. The following are the names of my project team members, and I'm the program manager for the project. This gives you a brief overview of what I'll be discussing for the next 15 minutes. In addition to this, there will be quotes throughout my presentation from community women and what they told me about their experiences in our focus groups with stress and what their ideas of what kind of things would be helpful in the program that we're developing. So the name of the program is the STAND program, which is the Stress and Depression Awareness Program. It is a partnership between the Tulane School of Public Health in the Maternal and Child Health Division, or Department, and the Louisiana Office of Public Health. So there are four individuals in this partnership, two from both of these locations. The School of Public Health brings past experiences with lay health educator programs, and the Office of Public Health brings years of mental health experience. So the need for this program has come from the devastating effects of Hurricane Katrina. It was, as I'm sure many of you know, it was a Category 4 when it made landfall. It caused the levees to breach and flood 80% of the city of New Orleans. 780,000 people were displaced. Many are still not able to return home. 200,000 homes were destroyed. 1,500 people died. And as you know, there was a lack of adequate governmental response to this disaster. And these statistics are from the Kaiser Post-Katrina Baseline Survey that came out in May of 2007. So one woman said to me, "I never had anxiety or depression before. It's a whole new world now. My life has changed drastically. But for me to cope with, and the only way I can describe the depression or the anxiety or whatever, is that it's a darkness that comes that tries to overwhelm me." So the effects of the hurricane are really just coming to a head now with increases in mental health problems in our community. There's a mental health crisis in our communities right now. The following statistics highlight these issues on a more broad scale. And this is from that same study that I quoted earlier, where 1,054 respondents were interviewed. So 18% are experiencing mental health challenges. 88% do not believe there are enough medical facilities. 52% state financial situation has worsened. 37% experience significant life disruption, and that includes divorce and domestic violence, things like that. 23% stated stress took a personal toll. So you, as you can see, our communities are still dealing with a tremendous amount of stressors, even 2 years after the storm. Another woman said, "But that's how I coped for a long time. It was just staying in the house, and then when I'd have to go up and down the roads, you would look at the devastation, and it would get you all depressed again." So to give you an idea of what the devastation looked like, these are just some of the pictures that I took when I was driving around and looking at some of the areas and what it looked like. The top part is from Plaquemines Parish, which is a parish in the more southern region, which was really devastated. And the bottom picture is from the lower Ninth Ward, which I'm sure many of you have heard about that. So the STAND program, to prepare for this project, we did literature reviews focusing on post-disaster recovery, how stress affects the body and mind, the stages of grief. But what we did not find were any lay health advisor or community health worker programs focusing on mental health. Although I did hear that there was a presentation this time at APHA about a community health worker program focusing on mental health. So if any of you went to that, please talk to me. Let me know. I'd be interested in learning about what that was about. So we did focus groups in four counties. We did 9 total focus groups. And those focus groups took place at community centers, churches, and through schools. And through the focus groups, we found that the women said that just the opportunity to talk was helpful in and of itself, that j- just participating in the focus group was helpful. So we took from that that women need a place to talk, women need a place of common support where women can help each other. So we went back and looked at the literature on support groups. And from that, from the focus groups and from the research, we decided to develop a program from the women's ideas, and we decided to train women to facilitate support groups. So why lay health educators? There's a limited healthcare infrastructure. Many people are still living in isolation, especially in rural areas, far from any healthcare facility, any clinic, or mental health services. Lay health advisors are familiar with and respected within their own communities. They will be recruited from their own communities and sent back out to work within their own. So therefore, they're familiar with their communities. Our center has had success with other lay health advisor programs. We've had two in the past, pre-Katrina breastfeeding awareness program and a cardiovascular disease program. And from those programs, we learned that it's been an accepted method in our communities. A majority of them continue to work due to community loyalty and high self-efficacy. And lay health advisors can reach people that health professionals cannot, just have a hard time reaching. And by that I mean people living in rural areas and people living in housing developments and areas like that. So why women? Women are the primary caregivers. They often are the sole person taking care of family members. Women's health is a marker for a state's economic development. Therefore, a woman's mental health is critical for their own recovery, their families, and their community's recovery. So recruiting for focus group participants was quite a challenge for me. Normal means of communication did not work. The telephones did not work. The places no longer existed, so I wasn't calling any place that existed. Websites were not updated, so I could not find out what was available, up and running and open and functioning. So I decided, well, I need to go and drive around and look and see what is going on out there. So that was the most important part of really finding out what's going on, especially since we are focusing on four counties, which we call them parishes, but counties. And so you had to get out there and see what's going on. So everywhere I went, I left flyers about the program. I spoke at PTA meetings at schools that were up and running and at neighborhood association meetings. Even though they had a lot of stuff going on in their own meetings, I would take 2.5 or 3 minutes was my allotted time. So this is a good example of just to give you what it was like for in some areas. This was in Plaquemines Parish in the lower region, and this was a group of volunteers called Emergency Communities, and there were donations by United Way. But this building, and I was just driving around, and I just saw this building, so I just pulled over and said, oh, what's this? There's people here. What's going on? And this was in the old YMCA building that no longer existed. Half of it was gone, just the metal frames. But inside, there was a lot of activity. They had breakfast, lunch, and dinner for people to come free. There were laundry services, and that was one of the most important things that people told me, laundry. They were able to wash their clothes, had a place to wash their clothes. People were taking in other people's laundry for work, and it was just, that was a difficult task to get done, very much a challenge. There was a library in here. All of these were under tents, so it's very interesting. There was an internet tent, so people had access to the internet. And there was a calming tent, so there was a tent in there with a massage chair and scents and oils and lighting, and it's very interesting. And I did feel calm when I went in there. And all this was run by volunteers, and this was the only place in Plaquemines Parish where people could go to meet. Everything else was gone. So people hung out here. So it's very interesting to see. And the volunteers stayed in a separate building in the back, living in tents. And they came from all over the country. It was just amazing to see that. And this is just some more pictures. That looks like a Taco Bell. It indeed was a Taco Bell. Really? 4 minutes. Okay. Focus group reactions. These are just a couple quotes from after we did actually do the focus groups, what the women said. What we found in the focus groups is that women would prefer a lay health educator that has gone through the experience. It's important to them that the woman has had some experience with Katrina, that the woman be trusted not to tell their business, so confidentiality was important. A woman that's open, compassionate, non-judgmental, and positive, and this for most was more important above and beyond similar race or cultural background. And a woman that's coping well to show it's possible. And they preferred groups initially. So another quote from a woman, I think we need a program similar to what we have here. A group you meet at a certain time and you have a discussion and you say how you feel. And we're all in the same boat, so let it all out. And this just shows some of the research. I won't read through that. Research showing that there's a relationship between social support and mental well-being. Sometimes people just need a listening ear or somebody to listen to them. And I also learned that when I went to the psychiatrist, when you're under stress, you need somebody, somebody on earth, physically, that you can speak to, you know, talk, just to vent. There's some of the quotes from the women. So our program now, these support groups are needed to rebuild a sense of community post-Katrina, to provide a place for women to tell their story, a safe place to share, and a place to know that you're not alone in your experience. This slide just gives you an idea of the path of the lay health advisor. I'll kind of go through this quickly. On the right is our center, on the left is the community, and we start at the bottom. So go through the training with us. They'll go back into their community and facilitate the groups, come back out, or they won't leave, but we'll provide support phone calls, and we'll go into the community and provide support visits, and we'll provide debriefings or lay health educator support sessions for the lay health educators themselves, because they also need support to go through this process and be this kind of leader in their community. And also we'll come into the community and conduct stress and coping workshops if the community is interested in doing that. So the training, I'll just go down to the last part. We're focusing mainly on these primary core competencies, that we want the lay health advisor to leave the training to know how to demonstrate empathy, reinforce positive efforts made through encouraging words, active listening skills, asking effective questions, and providing resources. We'll provide them with a resource list that they can hand out. So strategies for engaging the communities post-Katrina or post any kind of disaster, I would think, that we did anyway, was to do driving around, see what's going on, because you're not going to know what's going on in your office. Offer workshops on health topics that they may be interested. We did that as well. I did them on the stress, conducting the focus groups, and presence at health fairs. If they're already doing health fairs, be there and help support that. As far as evaluation, we're measuring process indicators such as the number of women trained, number of trainings, number of women attending the workshops, number of support calls. Did the lay health educators, can they demonstrate meeting the objectives that we set out, such as can they demonstrate active listening skills if given an opportunity to do that? Can they describe what an effective question is? Those types of things. And a self-efficacy questionnaire asking things like, on a Likert scale, I feel prepared and ready to do my job as a lay health educator, questions like that. And finally, prepaid postcards. This will measure what the contact was like from a community woman's point of view of their contact with the lay health advisor. So they can just fill out the postcard and send it in, and they don't have to worry about the lay health advisor seeing that, or so they can feel comfortable saying whatever they would like to say. So asking things on this postcard, what things did the facilitator do that were good or helpful, those kinds of questions. So lessons learned, provide this, I found very important, or needed, provide a debriefing time after each focus group for the facilitators. Because oftentimes these groups were very heavy, very emotional, very intense, and we all just had to leave. They were often done at night, and then we just went home and kind of sat there and thought about what we just heard. So I would suggest having a time for facilitators just to have a time to talk and to write down impressions from the group so you don't forget or mix up with another group, and to be involved in the community that you're working in, participate in existing activities that are going on. And I would also suggest for if you're driving around in a post-disaster setting and there's no facilities, don't drink a lot of coffee. That was something I learned the hard way. So the take-home message, old structures and relationships and partnerships disappear, but new are created. Community women can help community. There's a willingness within the community to do this kind of work. There's a resilience. I was touched by that with every single group that I did, that they want to come home and they want to help their community come back stronger than ever. And through the reconnecting of community members and social networks, there is hope. And I think it's best said by the women, not me. And if we don't turn it around to something good, then we went through it for nothing. And another woman says, and I don't want this to be for nothing. I want it to count for something. I want to help the community. Thank you.